You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right now, we're going to spend a few minutes with longtime Red Sox reporter and insider Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, and he's been in baseball even longer than that. Pete, it's great to have you. How would you describe this first half by the Red Sox as they near 70 wins before we even hit the All-Star break?
Yeah, I would say, Amy, that it's completely exceeded the expectations of even the most optimistic Red Sox fan. You know, Alex Cora has come in, rookie manager, and really kind of changed the culture around the team, changed the attitude around the team. And not that it was a bad attitude. They won 92 games last year. They're a very good team. But it's just different now. J.D. Martinez, who's the other big reason for the change, has given them that middle-of-the-order hitter. It's kind of given the other players more confidence offensively, knowing that if they don't get the job done, he probably will. And when you look at the pitching staff, Daniel Avangi, who's a new pitching coach, has done a good job, I think, since the start of spring training, preparing them for the long haul and not making every game sort of life and death the way it can get at Boston. The Sox have done a good job of making it, you know, we're preparing for the whole season. We're not just preparing for tomorrow.
The J.T. Martinez piece of this equation is so interesting because he didn't get to the Red Sox until middle of spring training, and yet it's been so seamless where you look at something like Giancarlo Stanton in New York, and there definitely was a bit of a transitional period. Why does he fit so well, JD?
Well, to begin with, you know, there was a definite space for him. When David Ortiz retired, they never filled that spot last year, and really nobody could fill the spot of David Ortiz. He was a one-in-a-lifetime player for the Red Sox and a Hall of Famer, all that stuff. So maybe it was the right idea not to try to replace him because nobody could have done it. And not that J.D. Martinez is got the same kind of personality as Ortiz, but he's a similar kind of player in that he hits for good average, he hits for power, he's got that nose for driving in runs, and he's somebody who's willing to share his experience and share his knowledge with the guys around him. And you can just see that hole in the lineup that they had last year, even though they still had a pretty productive offense, that's been filled by a guy who every time he comes up, there's a chance something good's going to happen for the Sox, and that's really made a huge difference in their offense.
It definitely helps when the team is a winner, but what about Alex Cora makes him the right fit to be the leader of this team?
Well, two things. The first is that he played for the Red Sox, and he understands what it's like to play in this market, the expectations, how much media there is in this market, all of that kind of stuff. He lived it as a player. He sat in the same clubhouse that his players sit in now, and he knows how they feel. And the second thing that made him such a good fit for them is that he was a member of the media before he got back in uniform. He works for ESPN, so he understands kind of what the media is looking for, what the questions are intended to convey, and what the good answers are that aren't going to get him in trouble. And he manages to diffuse a lot of potential controversies by saying the right thing, laughing off questions that are intended to try to maybe get an answer that's going to cause controversy. He knows how to deal with what modern day media is with social media and with all the different ways that people can broadcast information, whether it's in print or on TV or on the radio or podcasts, everything else. He knows what everybody's kind of trying to do, and he has a way of answering the questions and fulfilling those obligations without it getting back to the clubhouse and making the players feel uncomfortable.
Out of curiosity, do you think those same two factors also help Aaron Boone?
Absolutely. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those guys come from very similar backgrounds, baseball families, people who were in the media, people who played for their respective teams, guys who were respected players when they played, although not necessarily superstars by any means. I think that allows them to relate not only to their players, but to the front office and to the media and to all of the different, I guess, constituencies that they have to relate to. And if you think the way baseball is covered now, that a manager doesn't have to deal with the media, I mean, I think you're sorely mistaken. If you have a good relationship with the media, and that's not to say you're palling around with the media, but if you just are able to control the relationship and make it a two-way street, I think it's going to be a lot easier for any manager in any market.
Pete Abraham, part of that media, so am I. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Pete covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe. What's the most difficult decision that Alex Cora has faced so far as the manager of the Sox?
Yeah, without a doubt, it was the decision they made in mid-May to release Hanley Ramirez. And it came out of nowhere. It was very surprising when they did it. He had started pretty much every game until they announced one day that he had been designated for assignment. And he was in a slump. He started out the season very hot, but there was certainly no indication they were going to get rid of their cleanup hitter. Nobody saw that coming. And it was a commitment to try to play Mitch Moreland more often, which at the time, he was sort of a platoon first baseman. You don't really see a lot of contending teams say, hey, we've decided to give our platoon first baseman who we're paying $6 million to more playing time. But it worked out. I think initially there was a lot of surprise among the players. Hanley was, I think, a fairly popular guy among his teammates. He had been there for a couple of years. And all of a sudden now they've changed the entire look to the middle of their lineup. But after, I think, maybe a week or so, it's kind of clicked in. Moreland has been very good. They went out and got Steve Pierce to help them out off the bench and give Moreland a few days off. He's been good since they traded for him. And right now, that their offense is better than it was at the height of April, when they were really, you know, hitting the ball as well as anybody in the major leagues.
The two names that people on the other side of the country will know if you talk about the Red Sox right now are Chris Sale and J.D. Martinez. But you've mentioned a couple of times the cushion, the fact that there are other guys around to pick up the slack. Who are those guys that are doing the best job of picking up the slack, Pete?
Well, the guys that I've seen improve a lot over the last year or so are Andrew Benintendi in left field and Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. Bogaerts, from an offensive and defensive standpoint, he's a better player than he's been at any point in his career, I feel. And Benintendi's improved his defense quite a bit. He's always been a talented hitter, but he's certainly not as good an outfielder as Jackie Bradley Jr. or Mookie Betts. Those guys are gold glove kind of defenders. But he's become a very solid left fielder, and their outfield defense is such that it steals a lot of runs. It gives the pitchers a great deal of comfort that they can pitch up in the strike zone and get away with balls that are hit hard sometimes. And Benintendi is a guy, I think, who looked at himself at the end of last year and said, I can be better than this. And he's right now he's a borderline all-star, in my opinion.
Mm. You've covered baseball for a long time, more than 15 years, and so certainly this Red Sox-New York rivalry has gone through a bunch of different transformations. It hasn't always looked the same over the course of the last 20 years or so. But the Yankees are a team that likes to have its toys. They like to have as many free agents, as many big hitters, as many big names as they possibly can. And now we hear this link between Manny Machado and potentially the Yankees. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I mean, obviously I don't see the Yankees every day like I used to, but in watching them against the Red Sox, I think it's been 9 games now. To me, they seem like a team that needs a starting pitcher, not another infielder.
Mm.
And Machado is a tremendous player. He's one of the best, probably 5-6 players in the game right now. But he's very adamant about wanting to play shortstop. He feels like that's where his future is. The Yankees have a pretty darn good shortstop in Didi Gregorius, and I think it would be asking a lot to tell your shortstop 60% of the way through the season, hey, we need you to go play somewhere else. And Machado is a guy who, he's going into free agency. He's putting a lot of pressure on himself to perform. To what degree is he going to be committed to winning the World Series, and to what degree is he committed to improving his own stock as a free agent? To me, the Yankees are a very good offensive team. If they're not as good as the Red Sox, they're a couple of swings away from being as good. But if they went out and got another starting pitcher, that, to me, would scare the Red Sox more than Manny Machado.
It's been really interesting, the moves that teams have made in the last couple of years that have helped propel them to the World Series, even to championships. The Astros with Verlander, the Indians with Andrew Miller. We've seen big moves. Oh, Aroldis Chapman, of course, with the Chicago Cubs. What do the Red Sox need to do at the deadline to maybe improve them just that little bit more?
Well, I think it's clearly a relief pitcher. And tonight's game was a good example. They're leading Texas, 4-0, everything looks great. Sale goes 7 innings. They're in perfect shape, but they don't have Joe Kelly and Matt Barnes available. They've been used a lot lately. So in the 7th inning, they go to Heath Hembree, who's one of their secondary guys in the bullpen. He immediately gives up a run. He loads the bases. They got to bring Craig Kimbrell in the 8th inning, which they didn't want to do. And it becomes a hold on for your dear life game that they end up winning. But I think it demonstrated that they need another arm in the bullpen, somebody they can trust in the 7th or 8th inning. Now, I don't know who that is. It could be a lefty. It could be a righty. There's going to be a lot of those guys out there because there's so many teams that are out of contention at this point. It's going to be Dave Dombrowski's, I guess, biggest decision in season to go out and find that guy and supplement the bullpen.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio, after the Red Sox extend their win streak to 9 games now. The Houston Astros are almost a team that it seems like when the Red Sox make a move, the Astros make a move. And certainly they're defending champs, and so they have to be knocked off the throne. But how much attention is paid to the fact that there's another team in the American League that is keeping pace with Boston?
Yeah, well, around Boston, Alex Cora talks about the Astros quite a bit because he was the bench coach there last year. He's very close to A.J. Hinch. He's very close to Alex Bregman and a lot of their players, George Springer, Jose Altuve. When he went to Houston with the team earlier this year and got his World Series ring, it was a very emotional moment. So we hear a lot about the Astros, and I suspect deep down Cora would love nothing more than to play the Astros in the ALCS. That would probably be a fitting way for him to, end or extend his first year as the manager of the Red Sox. And the Astros, when you look at them, are a lot like the Red Sox. They have an ace pitcher in Justin Verlander. They have good speed. They have a player like Mookie Betts in Jose Altuve, or maybe Mookie Betts is like Jose Altuve. They have power. They have speed. They have good defense. I think the Red Sox have a few edges. They have a better closer, obviously. But those are two teams. They split four games in Houston earlier this year. I suspect if they played each other in a seven-game playoff, it would go to seven games.
Amazing what's happening right now in the American League. All right, you can follow Pete on Twitter at Pete Abe. He's been covering the Red Sox for the Boston Globe since 2010, but been around baseball much longer than that. He's also a lifesaver. Pete, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you.
Anytime, Amy. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.